Are you wanting more Totally Mackinac Island podcast? Well, here's how you can get it. Be sure to follow Totally Mackinac Island podcast on Instagram. Not only do I share everything that I talk about on the podcast, but then throughout the rest of the week, I share other invaluable information that is actually going on the island at that very moment. How that is done, up in my Instagram stories. I also like to share a bunch of pictures and videos that I have taken throughout my visit on the island. Another great way for more information about the podcast is always go to the blog. There I have all the links available for everything I have discussed. That is www.totallymackinaw.com. If you go on there, you will find everything I have ever discussed on the podcast, how you need to link up to it, and what other information you can have. As always, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have learned so much. I love sharing all that I can with you. It has actually even helped me learn more about the island. And I always appreciate those reaching out to give me more information to share with everyone else. Now back to the show. Located on the crystal blue waters of Lake Huron lies Mackinac Island. She is tucked in between Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas. Indulge me as I share all the ins and outs of the place that stole my heart. This is Totally Mackinac Island. Hello and welcome to Totally Mackinac Island podcast. I am your host, Heather. I hope everyone is doing well. I am beyond excited to have the guest on today that I do. She and I connected last year and were not able to get together to make this happen until recently. And I'm so glad that we did. Her books that she's going to be sharing are so fun to learn about, but also her whole Mackinac Island story is fascinating. And I can't wait for you all to learn about her and everything that she has to share. So without further ado, I'm going to let you sit back and learn about author Carrie Fancett Pagels.
Welcome, everyone. And today we are lucky to be joined with Carrie Fancett Pagels, an author. But before we get into more about what she writes, Carrie, would you like to share with the listeners what your Mackinac Island origin story is?
Sure thing. Thanks for having me, Heather. I'm a Youper by birth, and I was really blessed to land a job on the island as a teenager back a long time ago. I worked as a dessert girl at a place called Little Bob's Restaurant, which was a really popular restaurant back in the day. I'm originally from the Eastern Upper Peninsula, and the island is actually part of the what we call the EUP. Which is super cool, but yeah, the EUP, Eastern Upper Peninsula. So we actually have, we claim it. It's ours. It is not part of the Lower Peninsula. It is part of the Upper Peninsula, specifically the Eastern Upper Peninsula.
Okay.
Where I grew up. Yes. But you know, I had never been there on the island until I got that job. I was 16. And I lived that summer, I lived in what's now Pine Cottage. And Little Bob, the owner, his mother-in-law owned the home. She was a really sweet, super sweet lady. And so she hosted a lot of the workers for his restaurants. And he had a contract up at the tea room at that point, too. Well, I'm going to segue over into my part two and three of my origin story real quickly.
Okay. Yes. Yes, please do.
When I was in college at Lake Superior State in the Sioux, I worked for the school's magazine. And my boss, William or Bill Raby, he was a Mackinac Island freak. He's the guy who started this whole kerplunking or stone skipping thing. Do you know about that contest?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, this is back in the day in the 1970s. Bill Raby got that whole thing started. So a weird kind of Mackinac Island origin thing I got to do was I was sent by Raby to represent our university's magazine, our college's magazine. I went to the island, and for the first time, that I stayed overnight like at a hotel there. And I went to the Grand Hotel and with a couple of journalists, and I believe they were from the Detroit Free Press. There's a younger journalist and an older one. We went up, we had lunch at the hotel. There was a conference, and when I had worked on the island at Little Bob's, the workers on the island, you know, most of us were broke, and a lot of people worked two and three, you know, jobs. And one of the things people would talk about was this famous chocolate mousse dessert that the Grand Hotel had. I mean, this was something people raved about back then. I don't even know if they have it now, Heather.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, I loved it. You know, I got to come, I got to sit at this table with these journalists, and I was not a journalist. I was preparing to start my doctoral program in psychology. I would be leaving soon. I had my last year of college as an undergraduate.
Okay.
So I wasn't a journalism major, and I was not a, but I was their key liner for this magazine, which it, back in the day, that was a thing, just making sure it looked right. But honestly, my fun thing then was, for part two of my story, is like, oh, chocolate mousse at the Grand Hotel. And,
yes. I'm going to have to look into that now. I'm going to make a note of that, because yeah. I'll have to look on there. And then if not, I'm going to have to see about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you so much.
I know one of the times we stayed there, I tried to see if I could get it, and I didn't see it.
Okay.
No, I don't honestly think I did a very good job representing our magazine, but to make up for it later, when I did become an author, I put journalists attending a convention in my first Mackinac Island novel. And the hero is a writer who passes himself off as a wealthy German spending the summer at the Grand Hotel in 1895, where he's looking for a story on gold diggers, and but he's actually a little secretly ashamed to be working on a yellow journalism piece.
So, okay. You segued it all in there, yeah.
I'll tell you a little bit more about part three later on. I know you had some.
Can you share with the listener your books and what you write about?
Well, I was a psychologist for 27 years, but now I'm a Christian fiction novelist. And most of my over 25 published books are historical romance, but I recently switched over to the contemporary women's fiction genre. But because I'm getting rights back from my publisher, Barber Books, I am re-releasing some of those historical suspense and romance books. And then some I've been expanding, like one I have releasing this coming spring. And then that one is called Mackinac Island Beacon. And I will tell you a little bit more about my books, but I think you went ahead and you said you read Butterfly Cottage.
I did. You were very gracious, and you did send it to me. And I got Butterfly Cottage, and I started it. And it was so funny, because I think anyone that has been to the island, that loves the island, when you're talking about all these places on the island, I felt like I stepped inside of the book with that, because I knew what you were talking about. And it was such a nice read. It was such a great read. It had been really gloomy here in Indiana in January. And I made my New Year's resolution to get more back into reading was to start reading one book a month, which I know I'll read more, but I thought I'll start with that. And so I chose your book, and it was such a perfect book on those dreary days, because I felt like I was there at the island with the sun, with the flowers, with the beauty, with the smells, everything. So I really, really loved Butterfly Cottage. And so we'll go back into the stories of those, but I did love it. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'm really glad. I have two different series set up there, and I have ancillary books that go with them, and I can get into those later. But I have one that is the Mackinac Island romances, which they're all historical, and I have a bunch in that. And then I have these new contemporary women's fiction, which is the Mackinac Cottages series. And Butterfly Cottage was book one in that series, and I was really pleased. I had already written, I'd already published over 20 books in historical romance when I really felt led to move over to women's fiction. And Butterfly Cottage was my first women's fiction, and I won second place in the SALA Awards, and the winner was someone who actually has had movies made from her books. I was really thrilled about that. And then Lilac Cottage is the new release in that series. It came out about 10 months ago. And the next book, it's currently entitled Tandem Cottage. That will release in 2025. And Tandem Cottage will be a little different because a lot of it's set up in the annex, in Hubbard Annex. So you let me know when you're ready to go back. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I especially love too that you also included in Butterfly Cottage some stuff about Mackinac City. Now, I'm not as familiar with Mackinac City. Are those actual places that you were speaking about in the book?
I usually do have real places unless I either don't have permission to include them. Also, you should not be including real places if you are going to say something controversial or really negative. It should be either factual, proven, documented, or if it's going to be negative at all, or, you know, really you want it to be positive. So, and I'm having a positive experience when I'm up there. So I usually get permission. I did have a little delay for Lilac Cottage getting permission from the boating school up here at the Straits, but the director did eventually give me permission. And so I can now go back and change Lilac Cottage so that my boat builder, he can be actually at, you know, their specific school. So that's fun.
That is fun. I love that too. I never really thought about that before. Is that something that you have to do with, do you do that as an author? Do they like you to? I mean, I guess, does it depend on the book? Do you feel to get that, to get?
There's an author, Kara Putnam. She's also an attorney and she teaches law. I think she lives not far, you know, far from you in Indiana. I think I could be wrong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Kara has a book set on Mackinac Island too, a contemporary that came out a few years back. But Kara, when I first started writing, of course, I was a psychologist and I had all these rules, you know, confidentiality and everything. But Kara really gave good advice about in teaching in some classes and that about being really careful about names and that you use. But like, for instance, like the Mackinac City Bakery, I mean, oh my heavens. I mean, who wouldn't want to give them a nod and use their name? I mean, they're so amazing.
Right. Right. Well, we're going to have to go there now because I love a good bakery. Yes.
Oh, you haven't been. Oh, you have deprived and denied yourself some ecstasy.
It is. It's funny, Carrie, because once we get up there, I am solar focused on getting over on that island. And now that I'm getting older, I'm okay if we spend a little bit of time going around with looking at everything and enjoying that around there. But I definitely will be going to that bakery for sure, because we are bakery people in this family. I love to bake. So yes, I will have to do that. Absolutely. And can you share with the listeners what that is too? So that way, in case they are like, well, what are you talking about? Or do you want to leave that for the book?
Do you mean like share about Mackinac City Bakery?
I'm sorry. Yeah, which one it is. Yeah, the Mackinac City Bakery.
It's right on the corner. Like if you're going to sail from Scheffler's and you're in Mackinac City, it is just down from the ferry, the main, you know, the main terminal. And so a lot of people do know about the bakery, and you can hit it and grab your stuff and then run over and get in line to get on the ferry.
Nice. What is something that you love from there?
My editor for Butterfly Cottage told me I couldn't include any more peanut butter long johns in any scenes because I'd overuse them. And I said, yeah, and I overate them too.
Wait a second. They have peanut butter long johns?
Oh, yes, ma'am, they do.
I literally have never seen that before, ever. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Yes.
That sounds, well, I am writing that down. I love Long John's. I love peanut butter. I think that's something that I definitely need to try. So thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Okay, so how did you come up with the idea for these books to be based on the island?
Well, kind of like part three of my origin story is that when I was a young psychologist, a friend of mine whose mother grew up on the island and who had family members there, including the now mayor of Mackinac Island, Margaret Dowd.
Okay.
She came with me to the island. And, you know, I had lived there for a summer and worked on the island. And I'd come back numerous times. But, you know, my Mackinac Island, the island I knew from working there and from, you know, the visits as a tourist, that was not Rosemary's Mackinac. So, okay. I mean, over the years, you know, I'd heard from her stories of family members living on Mackinac, and Rosemary had lived there at a young child. But this time that we went together and we spent like a full day, and she took me all these places. And one of the places she took me was the Windermere Hotel, which the Dowds owned. And at that time, it was run, you know, at the big yellow, you know where it is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was run, you know, at that time by, I believe it was her aunt and uncle. I mean, this was decades ago, but, you know, what a beautiful place. So this was my first time I had actually stepped inside the Windermere, and it was like it was really truly like stepping back in time to go when I went into their lobby. And even though at that time I was a psychologist, I worked with young kids for a living, but I began to percolate this story about a young woman who'd grown up at the Windermere at the turn of the century. And then I wondered so many what ifs, because what ifs are what drive stories.
Right.
What if? So I had the what if, since the Grand Hotel was fairly new in 1895, and this inn, you know, the Windermere, which I call Windsor Mackinac. And it, by the way, it was not an inn back then. This is, you know, I have a fictional Windsor Mackinac. That was a home.
Okay.
Windermere was a home. Okay.
Okay.
But I have it where this inn, the inn owners, they face a few little challenges because of the Grand Hotel coming in, and people are adjusting to that huge hotel now being there and things changing. And I thought, what if that young woman believed she could run the inn, but her father was like really traditional. This is 1895, you know? But what if
she was... I love that.
Yeah, what if she had a strong woman as a mother and a super strong grandmother? And what if grandmother is one of those amazing ladies of Mackinac, maybe from a Métis background, maybe even a descendant of the prominent Cadotte family? And these people are famous at that time through the Upper Great Lakes. What if her father won't let her run the hotel when her fiancé abandons her? What if she then sneaks and works up at the Grand Hotel to, you know, to kind of prove herself to, you know, and to sort of tweak her father, you know? So it's like those what ifs. That's part of what drives a story.
Yeah. And I love that, thinking of the imagination of that, because there's so much to think about with it. And even back to when you were talking your first original with the restaurant you worked at, because it's always interesting to hear about restaurants that are no longer there on the island and what it was like to work there then. So you know, referencing and going in and just coming up with that idea is extremely talented.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm glad to write the stories. You know, as a psychologist, you hear so much over the years when you're listening to people's stories, and you're listening to motivations. And when you're writing a story, you're looking at the goal, the motivation, the conflict, GMC, we call it GMC. And, you know, it's same thing in a therapy session. You're also looking at their goal of what's going on in their life, the motivation for why that's happening, and the conflicts they're experiencing.
So with overtime, and, you know, was that the first thing that you thought of with that historical part, or did you have other ideas that kind of came with that? How did you, which one did you start with first?
So I have a number of books that are based on Mackinac, and I actually started writing before that. I wrote it was originally called the Christie Family Lumberjack Series, but it's been retitled the Mackinac Straits Lumberjack Series. It's set up at the Straits, and that series I wrote where I have Mackinac City, St. Ignace, Mackinac. And the first one in that, the Fruitcake Challenge, it actually was recommended by Women's World Magazine as a Michigan Christmas read. Yeah, that also was a Sela finalist. That's one of my best-selling books. That book still continues to sell. The Fruitcake Challenge. It starts out, it's in Mackinac City, and in a lumber camp there. And then the second one is the Lumberjack's Ball, and my heroine in that one, Garrett, he's really one of my favorite heroes. He ends up on Mackinac Island. He's a craftsman wannabe. He's a talented craftsman who is living out a lumberjack legacy that he never really wanted. And in that book, he has to come to grips with what he's really been called to do. And Garrett is in a ton of other books of mine. So he actually ends up on Mackinac Island with his. Yeah. And then the third one in that series is that's Lilacs for Juliana. That is set over in on St. Ignace with the librarian. And we have a little, you know, segue over, you know, with the island and the vicinity. So those are all set up at the Strait. So I actually wrote that series first. And then I got contracted to write My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island as by my publisher. That was after I did that first series. They, Barber asked me to come in on a collection that was My Heart Belongs series.
Okay.
And so they picked up my proposal for My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island. But I had three books total in my proposal. They picked up that one for this series. And when I got rights back, you know, then I was able to put it out separately. It's not in that series anymore. Now it's in, I know this is confusing, but now
it's okay.
In Mackinac Island Romances. So My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island. That's also really a best-selling novel for me. Maggie Award winner. It was also a Romantic Times top pick. That's the one where we have the journalist and we have the young lady who ends up, Maud is her name. She ends up going to work at the Grand Hotel as a maid. She's pathetic, though, as a maid. Really pathetic. So, but she's a real sweetheart. The next book in that series is Anchored at Mackinac. And that book could really use a little more love. I love this book. It's got some of my favorite characters in it. That one is about a ship's captain and a nurse wannabe. But, you know, this is in the 1890s. And so I love this character, Sadie Duval. She ends up going over to my hometown of Newberry to get her nurse's training. So that was really fun, like doing this historical stuff about my hometown. And my dad worked there, and my mom had as a young woman, and a lot of family members. So that was kind of fun. But then, that was fun. Behind Love's Wall is a dual timeline. It's my only one I've ever done, Heather. I never intend to do another one. They're very difficult. I did an 1895, like a murder case that is woven in with my other two books, with My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island and Anchored at Mackinac. And I wove it into that story. It's a complex plot. And then the secondary, the contemporary, is about an HGTV star and a landscaper dude up at the Grand Hotel. And when I got, I was invited to contribute to this, and you had to have it set at a national landmark, which is Grand Hotel. And you also had to have something controversial in it. And in this case, the whole Carlton Barney thing, you know, the Grand Hotel, when they got new owners, they ended up getting sued by Carlton Barney. And that's factual. I'm not saying.
Right.
It's factual. Okay. So I went from that premise to make up a fictional story to go with that of an HGTV star invited to come in and redesign a room. And in that room, she finds stuff that is related to that 1895 murder case.
Oh, I love that.
And you know what's fun, Heather, if you really enjoy history stuff, and a lot of people going up there do, but you're not everybody. But the St. Mm-hmm. Ignace newspaper has a column every week with little snippets of stuff from the past, you know? And
really?
They do. And it was really helpful to me by them having this information. I was able to, you know, fictionally put some of my stuff in there too, as coming out in the paper, you know, from St. Ignace. It's not in the Mackinac Island paper. It's in the St. Ignace paper. Yeah. But I love to get in the Mackinac Island paper too. But St. Ignace one, if you want cool history stuff, you want to read that column.
So do you just get onto their website and read it? Is that how you do it?
I do. I don't get it in the mail. I subscribe electronically, and it's really the easiest thing. It's awesome. It comes to your, you know, inbox every week, and you open it up and read. It's awesome.
Yes. Just like in case a listener doesn't know, you can do that with the Mackinac Island Town Crier too. So you can get information from that, get a subscription, and then you get information. But I love that you took those other two books, put that murder in there. Was it too difficult to keep going back and forth, or was it just a lot more work for you? Is that why you don't want to do another one like that?
I write in character. So,
okay.
It's, you know, you've heard of character actors. I'm a character writer. So,
okay.
So this morning I was in 1895. And wow. I was a young woman, Valerie, whose parents recently died, and whose mother may have actually abducted her from her real family, a famous family, as a child. That's who I was this morning.
Wow. And I never knew that authors did that. So that is really cool for you to share that with me.
They don't all do that. A lot of people, you know, there's really a thing to writing for the reader, okay? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of people, there's a fine line between writing to what the reader wants, and I want my reader to be immersed. I do not write in first person. I write in third person. And so we're not going to have a story, you know, where it's like, I did this, da, da, da. You know, there's not an I in it. It's third person. And so I feel like to take the character into the deep POV point of view that I want him to be in, that I want to be deeply in that point of view myself, and I immerse myself so that when I'm writing, that's what's coming on the page. Now, the problem with that is, I'll tell you a little weird thing I had happen. Okay, so if I get so into point of view that my point of view is contrary to correct facts, that can goof me up. And I had a situation where when I was writing My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island, I was writing from the point of view of someone from Chicago in 1895 who, the way he was relating to a situation, he was not calling things correctly what they should be. And then and that caused a problem for me with my book.
Okay. Because you were so in depth from your point of view. And so, that makes sense. To share with the listener, do you ever go to the island to sign books at the island bookstore?
Absolutely. I've been very blessed to sign books every summer since my first Mackinac Island book released. The owner, Mary Jane Barnwell, and the manager, Tamara Tomek, have been very good to me, as have the rest of the staff members and also the patrons of the store. And I really love meeting with readers, especially, you know, readers who love Mackinac Island. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I wonder too, like sometimes when you're there and you're sitting out in front of the Island bookstore, do you ever like, do people come up and ask you, you know, about your books and what they are? Do you feel that that's something that happens when you're there?
I had that happen sometimes, and I've had a couple really, you know, a couple really nice things. Like I had a young couple that they recognized me, and they were playing with their puppy in the park, and that was really fun. And then I had a waitress at the Pink Pony who realized who I was, and she had just finished reading My Heart Belongs on Mackinac Island. It had been her grandmother's book. And she was someone who is a seeker, and she shared that with me. What I mean is like religious seeker, you know, like just trying to find her way. And I was very touched by that. And, I think, and I had people who'd seen, you know, my stuff in the newspaper when they're advertising my book signings, and they'll come up to me. But I think most people don't come up, but I get some real long looks, you know, like, oh, is that maybe her?
Yeah, I bet. And in case the listener doesn't know, the Island Bookstore is located in the mall area of where the Lilac Tree and Sweets are. And you go back in there, and it's this charming little bookstore. And the first aisle, when you turn to your left, has all these books featured, not only about Mackinac, but authors that have written about Mackinac, whether it's, you know, fiction, nonfiction, romantic books, everything. So you can find Carrie's books along there, which is so fun to go in there and see that. Now, mind you, they have other books, but the first aisle is my favorite place to go and check out the books.
Yeah, it's a great place. I used to go there long before I ever had any books there.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. And then it's because I feel like Mackinac is such a great place that you really can sit and read. Now, if the listener is not going to be up at the Island Bookstore, where can they purchase your books?
You can purchase them at Barnes & Noble, and you can actually ask at Barnes & Noble for them to, like, if it's not in the store. And a lot of Barnes & Nobles do not keep a lot of Christian fiction on the shelves, but you can get them to order them for you and pick them up. You can order online through Amazon, Target, Walmart, and again, Barnes & Noble site. But also, Island Bookstore does keep signed books in stock, even, you know, before and after I do book signings. They're not available. My books aren't available only during the book signings. They're on the shelves, and they're there, you know, throughout the season. And you can also order through their website online.
See, there we go. Another great point. I did not know that you could order books through the website online. So, another thing I just learned today. I feel every week there's something new I learned, which is great. So for the listener, and then do you have a website also that they can go to at all?
Yes, www.carriefancetpagels.com.
So for the listener, I will put all these links in the show notes and then on the website for the podcast so you can get access to seeing and going on there and making your purchase of these books and then get to know and see a little bit more about each one as Carrie has talked about them, because I'm loving what you were talking about, those historical fiction ones. So now, do you have anything else that you're working on for the Island? You said the one that's going to be coming out next year. Do you have some other ideas brewing for anything else?
So the Mackinac Island Beacon, that's going to release later this spring. That's 1897. That's Mackinac Island Romance Series. Tandem Cottage, full-length novel also, planned release for 2025. That's contemporary women's fiction, part of the Mackinac Cottages series. And then, yes, I got the rights back to novella that ends with these characters. It's a bunch of wounded military soldiers heading back from Kansas to Mackinac Island. And that will Yeah, that'll probably be released, you know, sometime in the next year or so. It's got characters which are in that Mackinac Island Beacon story, but they are like 10 years earlier before they got back to the island with these. And this is a true fact. Phil Porter, he used to be the director of the Mackinac Parks up there. He advised me, I contacted him because I had a story set in Kansas and I wanted these soldiers and I wanted to fictionalize them going to Mech. And I got a hold of him and he said, well, hey, about that time we had all these wounded veterans coming back from out west and they came back to Mech and Island. I was like, bingo, thank you. So, yeah.
You being an author, you know, I'm curious, obviously, how the process works, and I want you to share how it all happens. But another thing is, you were just talking about, when you say you got the rights back, what are you speaking about with that?
Okay, so when you're under contract with a publisher, in the contract, they'll typically keep your book, say, for 5 years, okay? And then they may put some other clauses in there. And then after that time frame, the rights revert to the author, and they can, you know, independently publish it if they wish, or they can stick it in, you know, in the computer file and just let it sit there. But I have been, some of the mine I've been expanding, because like I said, I originally had a 3-novel proposal I sent in, and then my books kind of got broken up into different series that my publisher had. So now I'm putting them all back into, full series.
That's so interesting. And you know, so you were not in this, you were not an author before, as you mentioned. So, I mean, how you thought of this, but how did it all start? I mean, how did this all begin to happen for you?
Okay. Well, I had published in nonfiction as a psychologist, but the fictionalized part, you know, as far as I believe writers are born storytellers. So you've got to be a storyteller. Mm-hmm. I've been one since I was a child, and even when I was a little kid, I told my sister a story that we were from Jupiter, and she believed me. And yeah. My poor mom, she had to get me to disabuse my sister of that whole notion that we were from Jupiter.
I'm so sure.
Yeah. But it's, far as, you know, writing about the island, that whole process, the great thing about, you know, the 2 Mackinac Island series I have, because like when I write them, it's like getting to be there. So I was a psychologist. I have rheumatoid arthritis. I could no longer see clients. I mean, you can't say to a client, well, if I feel like it, if I'm not in terrific pain at 4 a.m., want to do an appointment then? That did not work out. But I had already, I really felt God leading me toward writing. And You know, Heather, there's a whole lot you probably want to do and ought to do before you start trying to put books out there. And I joined something called American Christian Fiction Writers, and I got all kinds of great instruction and submitted to contests and, you know, won some things and all this, you know, and got great feedback before I got help from so many people before I ever had a book out there.
Now, You have the Mackinac books, and would you like to tell us about, do you have any other books? And if so, would you like to tell us about them?
Yes, I do. I have 25 books out there now. I have some set in Virginia too. One, that Kansas novella I mentioned. I have one in France and Germany. It's called Saving the Marquise's Granddaughter. That's from Pelican Publishers. I had one with Guidepost, or it was just a short story in a Christmas collection. But most of my novels, they were published, my novellas were published in various collections, different publishers, mostly Barber. But I got the rights back on a bunch, like I did with the Mackinac Island ones. I got these ones back from my Virginia stories, and I have a series now called the James River Romances series. Virginia. So my debut book in Christian fiction, a debut book's always close to an author's heart. That was Return to Shirley Plantation. It was a best-selling Civil War book on Amazon. I'm really proud of that story. It is just a novella length, but it's I think it packs a punch. And I was really fortunate that my novella, The Steeplechase, it's a colonial era story. It was a finalist in the prestigious Holt Medallion Awards. I mean, that was something as a kid, I would, you know, I had heard of the Holt Medallion, and to actually have a story final in that, that was really something, really an honor. I got a couple more books I'll quickly cap for you. That's Dogwood Plantation.
No problem.
Wrote it during pandemic up in St. Ignace. So sometimes I'm up there writing books set in the South, other times in Virginia, writing my books set up north, so go figure. I have one, Love's Escape, that was in this Captive Brides collection, got the rights back. That was kind of fun. She's it may sound gloomy because she's a slave on a plantation in Virginia, but she's helped to escape by an undertaker's son. She goes up north, they end up in Buffalo. And, you know, you talk about, like, knowing the area. We lived in Buffalo area, like, outside. So it was kind of fun putting her somewhere where, we'd once lived. And I'd love to put this character and her husband up on the Straits eventually, but I don't have a story on that yet. So.
And who knows when it'll form.
Yeah, I do have one, a colonial novella called Shenandoah Hearts, that re-released this past fall. And it has characters in it who eventually end up at the Straits. For instance, the scout in the book, his name's Shadrach Clark. He becomes the adoptive father of the child who I have all these characters in these other Mackinac series that they descend from this young girl that's adopted by the Shadrach Clark. And I don't think I mentioned, but I have a book called Mercy in a Red Cloak. And that's a Mackinac Island book, but it's during the colonial era. And that's also available on audiobook. And that one has Shadrach Clark as the hero. And that little girl in the book becomes the matriarch of this entire family that becomes this Kadat family.
Oh, okay. All of these are available, as you mentioned, on your website and, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, all of these to purchase, correct?
Yes. Like I said, you can get them online. You can order through, well, most of them, not all of them through the Island Bookstore, but you can also always ask Barnes & Noble to get it for you. They'll get them.
That's good. So when you visit the island, what do you like to do while you're there?
I don't think you have enough time on the podcast to do it all, but I'll try to give you a peek. All right. Favorite thing is, of course, the book signings. Love the Island Bookstore. I always went in there. I love the place. I enjoy riding bikes around the island. When I lived on the island as a teenager, I did it every single day. I did it in the rain. I'm an ongoing supporter of the fort. I'm a member, and I love to go up to the tea room. It's my favorite spot on the island, is the tea room. And I love going up to the fort. It's got the awesome view. Do you go up there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Also enjoy Sadie's ice cream at the Grand. And I also go up to the cupola. The view of the Straits is spectacular from the cupola. Not a big shopper, but we stuck into the little big store. And I like to go to, I really love Lilacs and Lace store. I believe they're moving from Market Street to Main Street because that whole carousel shop thing.
Yeah.
So that's changed. They have some really beautiful, unique things. And I have a tradition. I always buy a new Mackinac Island mug, and my husband and I joke every year that if I chip or break it, it means we have to go back to the island.
I think that's a great idea. I like that. Yeah.
And my other little weird thing, and I have friends and family who come up, and they don't do some of the things I do, but one of the things that I'm always going to go in the Dowd's grocery store, because that's a place where I got my food as a teenager living on the island, my days off. I got a really soft spot in my heart for Dowd's, and they're the oldest grocery store in the country, family-owned grocery store. And They have some of the best, most reasonable. Well, let me put it this way. I think their pizza is really good. I like taking the park, but they have really reasonable hot drinks. I mean, you can go in there, get your hot coffee, get your tea, whatever, get in, get out. And go on over to Marquette Park. Now, that being said, since Lucky Bean has opened, I love that store. And the owner, Carolyn May, is absolutely the bomb. She's just adorable. She's a newlywed. She could get her own Hallmark movie with their love story. Yeah, go into Lucky Bean, get their coffees, and read Lilac Cottage, because my heroine, Rachel, works at Lucky Bean. And I had so much fun researching. Oh, it was so much fun. I just had to go in there all the time to research it, right?
Right. Yes. Did you get the Betty White drink?
Oh, I haven't had that one, I don't think. I think my son had it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
Also, being a bookworm, I like to go down to the beautiful library. I go see Anne St. Ange. She's very sweet. I try to bring my latest book for the library, and I love sitting behind the library. It's one of my favorite spots, and it was one of my favorite spots in the evening. After work, when I was a teenager, I would go sit back there, and I still like to go sit behind the library. It's got an awesome view, pretty private. Of course, once people discover it, then it's less private. But I know you're covering restaurants on the island, and for me, I love whitefish, I love pasties. That's all I'm gonna eat. Perch, trout. So whoever has the best fish, that's where I'm gonna try to eat. And I like Mary's Bistro. It's cozy, great food. It's not pretentious. And we do occasionally stay at the Grand. I love it up there. Haven't stayed since before the pandemic, since it changed hands. Love that parlor after dinner with the harpist and the pianist and the music later in the terrace room, I believe it's called. You just talked about that recently.
Yeah, that was really fun to hear about.
Mm-hmm. The grounds are so pretty. I think they've changed kind of. I'm not even sure the rose garden's still there. I mean, there's a secret garden, but there used to be these rose gardens. Yeah.
I don't know if there is as much because I know that they're taking those and even adding more stuff back in there just because I think they have the room. And then I don't know if you saw the pictures in front of the Grand. There's all this construction going around because the drivers were having a hard time in front of the Grand. So they're expanding it so they can turn around better.
The other thing I like to do there, I've enjoyed staying with Trish Martin at Bogan Lane. She has great rooms and breakfast. She shares wonderful stories about the island because she grew up there. She's really smart. She has a column in the newspaper. I believe she's a botanist. She's a lifelong islander. But it's also fun because it's across the street from Pine Cottage where I lived on the island. So I'm always going to try to go see Trish and go walk up there. And the other thing I like to do is I go for the private carriage drive. So I like to go up to West Bluff, and then I like to go into Hubbard's Annex, go over to East Bluff. And because I have my next novel for 2025, the contemporary set at Hubbard's Annex, that's definitely someplace that I'm going to be. You know, when I'm up there, I'm going to be up on West Bluff and Hubbard's Annex. I love running into like Monica Toddy. She's a sea glass artist. Sometimes I get to see Bob Taggetts again, the Grants historian. I've been fortunate to hear him speak several times, and we've run into him around the island and get to chat with him. And, you know, I like to see other friends that live on the island and some who come. And you mentioned the Jockey Club. You might find me there. I like to sit outside and eat sometimes. It's so hot here in Virginia. It's like, I just call it hell in a sauna for the summer here.
I know. I hate the heat like that.
Yeah. And then I like to see, you know, I have an artist friend, Mary Jo Peters, and I've loved her Mackinac Island art and not really blessed to call her friend. And I love those cruises. And my favorite was when Phil Porter, you know, I'm kind of a Phil Porter fangirl because I love his historical books, but he still does sometimes, because I've seen it online. He does a history tour, and we got to do that on one of those boats, you know, like going around the island and doing a history tour, sir. So those are some of the things I love to do.
Well, you really do a lot. Now, can you think of anything else you would like to share with the listener today?
Well, you know, like you and I were talking about earlier, the off season is just so amazing. So when we went in the fall this past year, and it just felt so much more like, you know, when I was on the island, you know, back in at the time I was there was a recession on, really bad recession back then, even worse than what we're in now. And, you know, just fewer crowds, but and now, you know, if you go in the fall, you've got fewer crowds, but there were still a lot of things open at the end of September. Before pandemic, it was almost like toward the end of August, man, it just shut down. But there are more and more people going with those cruises coming in. And for us going the end of September, early October, it was just magical being able to, we walked on the boardwalk and just down toward the Grand and felt like we just had it to ourselves. It was very romantic. I have a really random thing to share with you. And
that's, okay.
It kind of relates to this lack of hustle and bustle. Okay. A lot of people, when they go up there, it has a very spiritual feeling being on Mackinac Island. And, you know, you talk about the pronunciations. I'm not sure. I have a number of Native American family members, but I think it's pronounced Anishinaabe Nation. I'm not okay. sure. All right. They, when I was researching for one of my books, Mercy in a Red Cloak, I found out that the Anishinaabe Nation, that they believe, and I mean, I know they talk about this on the island, that it's the spiritual center for a lot of, you know, the Native Americans. And I actually learned through some research for that book, though, that the British have, in England, they have all this documentation that the British soldiers brought back with them. And in it, one of the articles I read talked about how people from the Anishinaabe would come from the other end, from Wisconsin, one of their other areas that was so important, Madeline Island, would come to Mackinac Island, their spiritually centering place to come to. And they would go back to Madeline. Yeah. And so I was like, wow, really? I mean, because so many people talk about how you go there. And I mean, there's this thing about being away from the crowds. There's the fresh air. There's the thing. It's not so crowded, you know, that you can't at least find some place to get some quiet and, you know, kind of be free from distractions. And, there's something really freeing to get in touch with your own spiritual center. I mean, I feel like when I went there as a teenager, that I felt that in a very impactful way when I was on the island, that even though I've been brought up in church and what have you, that I still felt like I got more in touch with, you know, God speaking to, you know, to me, you know, or being present. And I think that's what Native American people may have been possibly speaking of too. There's something about that place. The fact that even the British had taken back this information and documented that this is what was told to them, you know, back in colonial times. And I just found that fascinating.
I know. I'm sure. Yeah. Well, you've done a great amount of research on everything. And I'm very excited to read the rest of the books that I have. And then I probably will be getting more. So I can't thank you enough, Carrie. We were trying to, for the listener, we were trying to connect before the end of last year, and just things did not pan out for it. So I'm so glad we were finally able to do this and get this information out there for you guys to look into, reading some books that she has written so lovely and about our favorite place, Mackinac Island, because I can't think of anything better to read about.
I agree. Thanks so much for having me on the Totally Mackinac Island podcast, Heather. I really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate it too. Thank you, Carrie.
How great was Carrie? I also want to thank her for being so patient because my dogs that day were a little wound up and not the best in the background. So she was wonderful and very, very understanding. I wanted to do a little notes here. She had mentioned the Grand Hotel Moose. I could not find anything about that. So I'm guessing it's not something. It could possibly be a seasonal or just a random special that they had. I didn't see anything. The Mackinac City Bakery is www.mackinawbakery.com. She also mentioned St. Ignace newspaper for you to check out. Don't forget the Island Bookstore is online. And her website is www.carriefansitpagels.com. So be sure to get on to her website or the Island Bookstore to get her books. If not, go to Amazon. Especially if you are going to be having a trip, or take one with you when you're there, or go purchase one at the Island Bookstore. I also think she needs to write a book about her time on the island, because I think it sounds so fascinating. She really got to experience parts of it that I think so many of us would love to hear about, and she could share it in such a unique way. But I'm glad that I got to connect with her and have her on the show. And this just makes it that much more special when I go up there, that when I see her books, I know that I got to hear even more about that. So thank you again, Carrie, for coming on. All right, gang. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Everything that I mentioned will be down in the show notes, and you can catch up on it. And it will be on the website, www.totallymackinawislandpodcast.com. I look forward to talking to you next week about our favorite place, Mackinac Island. Totally Mackinac Island is written, produced, and edited by me, Heather.